So, you have a video game movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I'm so excited for this one, Uncharted.
Oh. You should probably get yourself cleaned up.
What? The video game series, Uncharted. We should make a movie about it, I think.
Oh, yeah, that made money.
Yeah, so now we can too, maybe.
That's like my whole thing. How'd you know?
I just thought you'd be into that.
I freaking am. Let's do this.
Amazing. So who'd be a good fit to play Nathan Drake, the main character?
Well, right off the bat, you're not asking the right question, my man.
I'm not.
No, see, the better question is, who's a popular actor right now?
Oh, I felt like my question was good, too.
No, it wasn't. That was a stupid question. Tom Holland, he's popular. He's Spider-Man. Spider-Man's popular.
That's not really a good fit. He plays like a high school-age kid in those movies. Nathan Drake's like in his 30s.
So he's a younger Nathan Drake. Doesn't matter. Tom Holland's popular.
Okay, and so who would be a good fit to play Sully?
You're not asking the right question.
I figured I probably wasn't.
The right question to ask is, who's an action movie veteran with a good track record?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm thinking Mark Wahlberg.
Okay, I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see what he brings to the role of Sully.
Oh, I can tell you right now what Mark Wahlberg's gonna bring to the role. Mark Wahlberg's gonna bring Mark Wahlberg to the role.
Like a Mark Wahlberg twist to the character?
No, Sully's gonna be Mark Wahlberg now.
Are we gonna give him the iconic Sully mustache?
No, actually, known characters can't have their iconic costume elements in movies anymore. They need to either pick them up along the way or just have them in a post-credit scene.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a law now, I'm pretty sure.
Well, okay then.
So what happens in the movie?
Well, I figure we do that thing where we start with an insane action scene that actually happens later in the movie, just to start with something exciting.
Classic move, sure.
And then we'll have a freeze frame and a Nathan Drake voiceover that's like, yep, that's me. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
It might be a little much, but let's definitely keep that spirit.
Will do, sir. And then I have us cutting back to like a 10-year-old Nathan Drake.
Sure, what's wrong with that?
Well, Tom Holland looks like he's 15, so that might make for kind of a weird transition.
That'll be fine.
Okay, great. So anyway, Nathan's brother Sam leaves Nathan at an orphanage when they're kids and promises to come back, but then never does.
Oh, very character-defining.
So then we jump forward to present day, and Nathan's all grown up, you know, to the extent that Tom Holland looks like a grown-up.
Spider-Man!
And now he has a job working as Tom Cruise in the movie Cocktail, and he's also a pickpocket.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so then this guy Sully shows up and claims to know Nathan's brother and wants to bring Nathan on an expedition.
What are they what's the expedition?
Well, there's this freaking treasure hidden by Ferdinand Magellan and his crew. It's like billions of dollars worth of gold.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and so to get to that treasure, they need this old golden cross that's actually a key.
Oh, old people love things that look like other things but are actually keys.
They sure did, sir. So Nathan and Sully go to this auction, but there are some bad guys there that also want the cross.
Oh, how come?
Well, there's this one guy, Moncada, and he comes from the family that funded the Magellan trip, so he feels like the treasure is his birthright.
Okay.
And he has this ruthless mercenary, Braddock, working for him, and her whole thing is that she would also like the treasure.
Understandable motivation, sure.
So anyway, Nathan and Sully manage to get the cross, and now they gotta go to Barcelona.
Oh, how come?
Well, Sully has this contact, Chloe Fraser, and she has this other cross, because you need two of them to enter this crypt.
And what's her deal?
Oh, she's a very good pickpocket, sir.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. She's so good, she steals the cross out of Nathan's closed backpack without even getting close to him.
What? How?
She's so good, sir, he didn't even notice.
But physically, how did she get a cross out of a closed bag from a distance?
By being one of the best in the game, baby.
All right, well, cool, I guess.
It's very cool, sir. She double-crossed him for some double crosses.
A wordplay.
So then they manage to convince her that they all need to work together, but there's still gonna be a lot of backstabbing going on.
Oh, stabbing is tight.
Backstabbing.
Yeah, wherever. I love all of it.
Okay.
So then what happens?
The Da Vinci Code.
Oh.
Yeah, the Da Vinci Code.
We're getting all Dan Brown up in here?
You know it, sir. They gotta follow these ancient clues that are hidden in plain sight in modern society.
Very Robert Langdon-esque.
Yeah, so this one entrance to an ancient crypt is inside an old church, and there's a vent connecting it to a nightclub.
And nobody in 500 years ever went through the vent.
That's what we're going with. And then there's this other keyhole.
In a Papa John's.
What?
In a Papa John's.
Like a pizza place?
Yeah, Barcelona's in Europe. Europe has pizza. Papa John's has pizza. Papa John's will give me money. This is a perfect fit.
Okay, so there's an ancient keyhole in a Papa John's.
Amazing.
Yeah, they built a Papa John's around an ancient keyhole. Never look behind it. Just put a Papa John's right there.
Yeah.
They just put some glass in front of it so it was still easy to find, but never did anyone wonder what was behind there.
That makes total sense to me.
Great. And so then there's going to be this action scene where Nathan and Chloe are almost drowning down in the crypt, and the Papa John keyhole can help them not drown.
Okay.
So Sully's got to access the keyhole, but that Braddock lady shows up at the Papa John, so there's a big Papa John's fight, and he throws her through the Papa John's glass.
A very exciting action scene brought to you by Papa John's.
Anyway, so later Braddock and Mankata are loading up this cargo plane, and Nathan and Sully got to figure out how to get on there.
Is that going to be hard to do?
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they hide in the trunk of his favorite car, which he's bringing with him.
How'd they get in there? Aren't there a bunch of guards?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But they do this really clever thing where they sneak into the car off screen.
Oh, that's amazing, the kind of stuff you could get done off screen.
It really is. So then there's going to be this big twist on the plane when Braddock slits Mankata's throat.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there's blood everywhere because of what that does to a person.
Well, no, because we want that PG-13 rating.
Oh, okay, so then he'll just have a dark, bloodless line that we won't even try to hide.
Perfect.
So now Braddock is the main antagonist of the movie.
Very cool twist. So instead of the villain with a personal family connection to the treasure, it's the angry girl who was thrown through a window at Papa John's.
Exactly. And so she tells her crew, hey, now that we have this guy's wealth, we can do whatever we want.
That's not... Just because you murder someone doesn't mean you control all their assets.
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay, neat.
So then there's gonna be this big action set piece where Nathan and a bunch of cargo are falling off the plane.
Oh, yeah, that's from the games.
Exactly. An iconic moment from the games, except now people can't control the characters, which makes it more engaging.
That makes sense.
So anyway, eventually they get out of that situation, and Nathan figures out the coordinates for the treasure.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, and then Chloe steals them, but Nathan left decoy coordinates because he knew she was going to double-cross him.
So she just takes off in the wrong direction, and she's not in the final act action stuff of the movie?
That's right, she's gone.
All right.
And so then Nathan heads into this cave that nobody's been in for 500 years, even though it looks like the coolest cave that everyone would love to explore.
And how does he plan on bringing several tons of gold out of there with him?
Well, he's got himself a little speedboat.
That'll do it.
Yeah, so then on land, Nathan and Sully find Magellan's two giant old ships, but then Braddock and her team take them.
What do you mean they take them?
They put these giant nets under the ships and fly them off with helicopters with Nathan and Sully inside.
Nice.
So then there's gonna be like this crazy airborne pirate ship battle. It's gonna be nuts.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And at a certain point, Nathan's gonna fire an old cannon at the other ship, because it's flying right at them.
What was the strategy there? The bad guys were just gonna crash one ship into the other and hope for the best?
Yes.
Well, okay then.
And so then the good guys win and the bad guys die, and most of the treasure is lost.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, but it's okay, because they get a little bit of it. So what do you think?
I think it sounds fun, and I think we time it just a little after the new Spider-Man movie to hop on that Tom Holland hype train.
You think that'll work?
Never underestimate a hype train.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, that's that game where you mash a bunch of buttons and then somebody's spine explodes and you need a bit of therapy.
That's the one, sir. So I figure since the game is still super popular, we make a movie about it.
It has been a while since we tried that, so what happens in this thing?
Well, we're gonna start the movie in 1617 Japan, right? And Sub-Zero's gonna show up and kill Scorpion's family.
Oh, extremely rude. Very impolite.
For sure. And so in Chinese, Sub-Zero's gonna be like, hey, I ended your bloodline, you sucker. And Scorpion's gonna be like, I'm Japanese, I have no idea what you're talking about, but let's fight.
Oh boy.
So then they do fight, and Sub-Zero ends up stabbing Scorpion real bad and then leaving.
Oh, bad guys love leaving before making sure their enemy's really dead.
Yeah, and so if he had stuck around, he would have seen that Scorpion was crawling towards his hidden baby and then turns into fire and disappears.
Ah, so the bloodline is still going.
Exactly, and then after that really intense first scene, everything's gonna kinda go downhill from there.
Sure, if we start strong, we'll have people's attention, and we could kind of stop trying story-wise from there on out.
So we're gonna meet this not very good MMA fighter named Cole Young, right?
Oh, I don't remember him from the game.
That makes sense, because I made him up.
Oh, you did?
Well, because this way the audience is gonna have someone to identify with, you know? Someone who's learning the rules of the world at the same time as them.
I mean, there are like 100 Mortal Kombat characters. Can't we just pretend like one of them is learning about this world for the first time?
We could, but instead we're gonna spend a bunch of time developing this guy and his family.
Is that gonna take screen time away from the characters that fans came to see?
Oh, most definitely. A ton of it.
Well, okay then.
So Cole is actually a descendant of Scorpion, and he has this little dragon birthmark on him, and he keeps seeing flashes of Scorpion when he looks in the mirror.
Okay.
And because of this mark, Sub-Zero's gonna show up and try to kill him.
Oh no.
But then this guy Jax is gonna show up, and he's gonna be like, hey, you gotta go find Sonya Blade, and don't stay with your family, cause dark forces will murder them.
Sounds like solid advice.
It is.
is, and so then Sub-Zero rips off Jax's arms and leaves before making sure he's dead.
So that's like this guy's whole thing.
It is. So then Cole goes to see Sonya Blade, and she has a whole wall of exposition to show him. I mean, she's all equipped for this exposition dump.
So what does Cole learn?
Well, there's this big tournament between a bunch of realms, and this bad guy Shang Tsung wants to kill all the champions before the tournament because he's a big fat cheater.
So what decides who's a champion?
Oh, anyone with a dragon mark is a champion, and either you're born with it or you kill someone who has it.
So if you kill someone who has a mark, you automatically get it.
Exactly. That's what happened with this criminal guy Kano that Sonya captured.
So like if a 95-year-old senile grandpa accidentally runs over a champion, he will then have to fight to defend the Earth Realm?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, let me ask you something. Can we make that movie instead?
Well, I kind of worked hard on this one.
Fair enough. So what else happens? So anyway, Kano knows where this guy Raiden has a temple, so they all head to that general area.
Okay.
And then this guy Liu Kang shows up, and he's like, it's my job to find champions, and I found you guys.
I mean, sounds like they're pretty much there. He didn't really do any of the work.
Yeah, well, he's gonna take credit for it.
Well, good for him.
So then this Raiden guy is gonna be like, all right, you all have this thing called Arcana. It's like a superpower. You gotta unlock it, and that'll help you in the tournament.
Okay, okay.
But Sonya doesn't have a mark, but she still gets to hang out.
Oh, he lets her hang out. Raiden sounds like a pretty chill guy.
He's not.
Oh, okay.
So they start training a whole bunch, and Kano, he unlocks a laser beam eyeball. He's real happy about it.
How does he manage that?
By arguing about egg rolls.
What?
But then things aren't really working out for Cole because he's the worst. So Raiden is like, all right, you gotta get out of here, Cole. Go back to your family. And he's like, all right, I'm going home now. Bye.
But there are still dark forces coming for him because of the mark, right?
Yeah, so he goes back to his family.
But his whole thing about going was so that they'd be safe.
Yeah, he forgot about that part, so he goes back to his family.
Well, okay then.
But while he's back home, this big monster Goro's gonna be sent to kill him.
Oh, I remember Goro. He was like a big boss guy. Gonna be tough to beat him.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, when Cole's family's in danger, that's when he unlocks his superpower. So he defeats Goro, no problem.
Oh, so he becomes Scorpion?
No, he gets a cool little outfit made entirely of plot armor.
Okay, kinda seemed like you were building up to him becoming Scorpion.
Yeah, that may have seemed like the cooler and more logical point to build towards, but instead Cole is gonna transform into Cole with a cooler sweater.
Sure, that may as well happen.
Anyway, so meanwhile, Kano betrays everybody and lets the bad guys into Raiden's temple.
Oh no.
So they start kicking everybody's butts, and that Shang Tsung guy grabs this guy Kung Lao.
What's he gonna do to him?
Well, this one guy's like, oh, he's about to get his soul sucked.
Oh, getting your soul sucked is-
Nope, don't say it.
Oh, getting your soul sucked.
Please, please stop. It's just that's kind of my thing. Every meeting I say that something is tight.
I know.
It's just kind of my catchphrase. I'm gonna feel weird all day if I don't get it out.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just sometimes it's random, but sometimes it's kind of gross. So maybe just get that out later when I'm gone.
Oh, getting it out later when you're gone is tight.
Okay. So then what happens?
Well, then Raiden teleports all the good guys to this white void where the bad guys can't go.
What? There's a white void where the bad guys can't go? Why didn't they train there?
Well, because there's this whole thing where Raiden's not allowed to intervene.
But he's intervening now.
He is, yeah.
Okay.
So the group is like, listen up, guys, we need to fight these bad guys again, but this time, we gotta win.
How? What's changed?
Well, see, the movie's almost over, so all the good guys are gonna be much better fighters now.
Oh, okay, great.
Also, that Jax guy had little robot chicken arms, but now he has big, big, big robot arms.
How did that happen?
Magic.
Magic gave him robot arms?
Magic gave him robot arms, that's right. So then one of the good guys is like, hey, Raiden, you can teleport anyone, anywhere, right?
He can do what?
He can teleport anyone anywhere. So he's like, okay, I'm gonna teleport these bad guys to various locations and then we'll fight them.
Why doesn't he teleport the bad guys into a volcano or to the bottom of the ocean?
Okay, so see, that would be an instance where he couldn't intervene.
But he can separate them with teleportation so they're defeated in battle.
That's right.
So does he teleport each bad guy to a different location and have all the champions gang up on that person and just kind of work his way through the line like that?
No, see, that's a way he wouldn't be able to intervene.
Oh, I'm very unclear on how this guy's allowed to intervene, so what does he do?
Well, he sends them all to, like, 1v1 fights, because that's, like, the game, kind of.
That's, like, the game, kind of.
It is. So then Sonya's gonna defeat Kano and get her superpowers immediately.
How come she gets her superpower at the same time as her mark?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
And then Sub-Zero's gonna freeze Cole's family, which is maybe something that people will care about.
Maybe.
And then Scorpion's gonna show up from hell, and he's gonna be like, get over here!
What? Did he take English lessons in hell?
He took some very specific English lessons in hell, that's right. So then they're gonna have this really cool fight while Cole just assaults his frozen family in the background.
What?
And then they're gonna team up and manage to defeat him.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Wait, so a bunch of the big bad guys were killed?
They were, yeah.
So if we want to make a sequel, we can't use any of those guys.
Well, we're gonna say that death is just another portal, so.
Oh, so none of this mattered.
Yeah, none of this mattered, and we could just keep making more and more and more and more of these.
I mean, let's not get crazy.
Okay, okay. But what if we did get crazy, though?
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, okay.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. 2016, baby.
What?
2016, my man, 2016.
Why do you keep saying the current year?
Because it's the best year there's ever been.
I don't know about that.
And it's the inspiration for the movie I'm about to pitch you.
Oh, how's that?
Well, what was a surprise massive hit movie this year?
I guess Deadpool?
Exactly, and what was like the biggest mobile game of the year?
Pokemon Go.
That's right, so I figure we could, you know...
Oh.
Yeah.
You wanna hold hands?
What? No.
Oh, okay. No, that's okay.
I'm talking about doing a Pikachu movie starring Ryan Reynolds, you know, basically doing a toned-down version of Deadpool.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like it would make a lot of money, so how do we approach this?
Well, what's the first thing that pops into your head when you think of Pikachu?
I don't know, he shoots lightning,
he solves crimes, that's right.
But that doesn't come to mind at all.
Oh, well, it should. There's an averagely reviewed video game called Detective Pikachu on Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, when did that come out?
When do you think?
2016.
Yeah, I thought so. So what would happen in the movie? We're gonna get to see some Pokeballs get thrown around?
Oh, you're darn right we will.
Amazing.
Once, briefly, at the beginning.
Oh. Yeah, so we're gonna start the movie with Mewtwo escaping from a lab and making a car crash.
Okay.
And then we're gonna meet this guy, Tim, with a dead-end job and a dead mom who finds out his dad's dead.
Oh my god, that sounds so dark.
Oh, it will be. The first 20 minutes are gonna be very depressing for the most part.
Jeez.
So anyway, Tim has to go to Rhyme City, which is this place where Pokemon and humans coexist peacefully.
Very cool.
And when he goes to his dad's mailbox, he meets this reporter, Lucy Stevens.
And what's her deal?
Well, she's looking into his father's death, and if we could get the actress to be, like, super bubbly and over the top, that'd be great.
Oh, I feel like that's really gonna clash with the tone we've been working with.
Yeah, for sure. It's gonna feel like she's acting in a different movie.
I mean, okay.
So at his dad's apartment, he runs into a little Pikachu with a detective hat, an amnesia, and a coffee addiction.
Oh, addictions are tight.
No, no, they're not. Coffee and chocolate are the only socially acceptable ones.
That's fair.
Anyway, somehow Tim can hear this Pikachu talk. And let me tell you something, he sounds a whole lot like Deadpool.
Money.
And they find these mysterious vials of purple gas that makes Pokemon go crazy that have these R's on them.
Oh, Team Rocket?
No, shut up.
Okay.
And so Pikachu reveals that he was Tim's dad's partner and he thinks he's still alive.
Oh, interesting.
So Tim and Pikachu are gonna try to solve this case, you know, by visiting all these different Pokemon products.
Nice.
Sorry, did I say products? I meant characters.
No, I liked it the first way.
Oh, okay. So anyway, they're gonna meet this Mr. Mime product that mimes everything he does, but he actually makes the things he's miming.
Oh, very cool.
And so they're gonna mime dousing him in gasoline.
Oh, very dark.
And then they accidentally mime lighting him on fire.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so moving on. Wait, did they actually kill the Mr. Mime?
I don't know.
Well, okay then. So anyway, we're also gonna meet this guy, Howard Clifford, who founded Rhyme City.
Oh, and what's his deal?
Well, he's in a wheelchair and he's always talking about how Pokemons can evolve but humans can't.
Oh, so he's the bad guy?
No.
Seems pretty obvious that he is, though.
Nuh-uh, he's not.
But he probably is, though.
And we're also gonna learn more about Mewtwo, like apparently he caused that car crash to save Tim's dad.
Oh, okay.
And we're gonna learn that with his psychic powers, he can transfer a human's consciousness into a Pokemon.
Oh, so Pikachu is actually Tim's dad?
What?
No.
I mean... Oh, and also we're gonna see Tim's dad a bunch of times, but we're never gonna see his face.
So his dad is actually Ryan Reynolds?
You sound insane right now, what?
I don't think these twists you're setting up are gonna be as twisty as you think they're gonna be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So what else happens?
Well, we're gonna have this scene with these giant Torterras walking around. It's gonna be like an Inception type thing. It's probably gonna be pretty expensive.
Oh yeah, that does sound expensive. And what's the point of that scene?
It's so Pikachu can get a little bonk on the head and no other reason.
I guess that's worth the money.
Yeah, so then Mewtwo shows up to help, but he gets captured by Howard's evil son.
Uh-oh.
And then we're gonna find out that Howard himself was evil this whole time.
No, yeah, I know.
And he wants to transfer everybody's minds into their Pokemon.
Why?
Because.
That works.
And so in his office at the top of a skyscraper, he puts on this little headband thing that lets him control Mewtwo, so Tim
Tim is like, you know, uh-oh.
Oh, man, yeah. It's going to be impossible to stop him when he's controlling a powerful Pokemon like Mewtwo.
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, he flies off as Mewtwo, but he leaves Tim in the room with his vulnerable body still wearing the unsecured headset.
Oh, that's pretty irresponsible.
Yeah, he does leave Tim with a Ditto to fight, though.
Oh, a Ditto, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be this twist. See, you think that Howard's son is evil, but it was actually a Ditto taking his place the whole time.
Oh, a Ditto can take the form of a human. What's that going to look like?
Oh, it's going to be really cool. It's going to look kind of like this.
Oh my god, that's horrifying.
Oh, it is?
Whoa, yeah, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. I hate that.
Oh, my bad. That's just what I look like with my glasses off.
Whoa, oh boy. Okay, what happens next?
Well, Howard needs Pokemon to, like, go crazy before he can do the consciousness transfer, so he needs to use that purple gas on everybody.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but I had this amazing image in my head of him maybe using parade floats as a way to disperse the gas.
I think you might have that image in your head, because that's exactly what happened in Batman back in the day.
Oh, whoops.
Whoopsie.
Anyway, so then Tim takes the headband thing off of Howard so he doesn't control Mewtwo anymore.
Well, good.
But then Pikachu falls from the height of a skyscraper, and somehow Tim gets down there just as fast, but in a safe way.
Oh, wow, that building must have crazy elevators.
Yeah, probably. And then we're gonna learn that Pikachu was Tim's dad the whole time.
Right. Didn't see that coming, did ya?
No, yeah, you spelled it out quite a bit.
Very twisty.
And then at the end, we're gonna see that it's Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
So?
Well, it sounds like it'll probably make a lot of money.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, I mean, you took two of the biggest moneymakers of 2016 and smashed them together.
I did.
I wonder if there's another money-making strategy we could use to take this whole thing to the next level.
So, you have an animated movie for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And it kind of takes the things having a secret life premise from Toy Story, but for like a new generation that doesn't play with toys anymore.
Oh, so what's gonna have a secret life?
What would a kids use more than toys these days?
Oh, okay, I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah?
Yeah, you wanna make an emoji movie?
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, as soon as I said it, it sounded like an awful idea.
Nobody should ever do that.
And I pray that they don't. That would be truly terrible.
Yeah, no, this movie's called Wreck-It Ralph, and it's about the secret life of video game characters that live in an arcade.
Oh, sweet. Kids are always at arcades these days.
Yeah, not only are arcades all over the place, but they're always packed.
It is a good time to own an arcade. So what happens in the movie?
Well, the main character, Ralph, has been the bad guy in this video game called Fix-It Felix Jr. for 30 years. And his life kind of sucks when compared to the good guys, so he decides that he's sick of being a bad guy.
Wait, he's been living that crappy life for 30 years? Why only do something about it now?
It's the 30th anniversary of the game.
Right, but he must have been feeling this way for a long time. What makes this moment so special?
This is when the movie starts.
Gotcha.
So anyway, to be a good guy, he needs to win a medal, so he decides to sneak into another game to do that.
How are the games connected?
Well, they're all plugged into the same surge protector, and if one of the machines gets unplugged, the characters in it die.
Wait, so they've never once unplugged the game in 30 years?
That's what we're going with.
What if something that's not a video game gets plugged in? Like, what if the janitor plugs in his vacuum? Can they go in the vacuum?
Oh, please don't think about the world building this much.
Why not?
Well, it's the kind of world building that falls apart if you think about it, so it's best not to do that.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so we find out through Sonic the Hedgehog that if characters die outside their own game, they're dead for good.
So Ralph goes into a safe little game to win a medal?
No, he goes into the most dangerous, violent, murdery game in the whole arcade.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, and then at this point in the script, I actually ran out of video game jokes to make.
Must have been hard to finish a script about video games without any video game jokes left.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just had Ralph head over to this game called Sugar Rush, so we start making candy puns instead of video game puns.
Oh, abruptly switching your pun strategy is tight.
Anyway, so Sugar Rush is this kind of racing game, and Ralph meets this character Vanellope, who's not allowed to race because she's a glitch.
Okay.
And she steals Ralph's medal to sneak into the race, so if she doesn't win, he's not getting it back.
Wow, this character sounds like a massive glitch.
Yeah, it was a real glitch move on her part, but she's actually pretty nice.
So what else should I know about Sugar Rush?
Well, the place is run by this guy, King Candy.
Oh, we should make him be like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland.
What do you mean?
Like, we just straight up make him look and sound exactly like the Mad Hatter.
Why would we do that, though?
Why wouldn't we do that?
But why would we?
Listen, I just really like Alice in Wonderland, so this is something that's gonna happen, okay?
But I don't understand.
This is happening. Are you on board or not?
Oh my god, I guess I'm on board.
Great.
Well, that got scary.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, at the end, we're gonna find out that he's actually a bad guy named Turbo in disguise. And he snuck into the game when his game got unplugged. Then he completely recoded it to make Vanellope a glitch instead of the princess that she actually actually is.
How does a video game character know how to recode an entire game?
I don't know, but he also erases everyone's memories so they don't know that she's a princess.
How does he know how to do that?
Dude, I don't even know.
Wow, this guy has such a convenient skill set.
Anyway, so Vanellope ends up winning the race, which completely fixes and resets the game.
Why would winning a video game do that?
Because that's what I wrote.
Fair enough.
So then Ralph goes back to his original job, but everyone's happy now.
So what's the message here exactly?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of you should just accept your position in life, no matter how crappy, and just do your job with a smile and keep your mouth shut.
That is an important lesson for kids to learn.
Yeah.
So you said that Sonic the Hedgehog is gonna be in this movie. Are there any other well-known characters?
Yeah, I have a few, but to be honest, I tried to keep it to a minimum.
How come?
Well, it kind of just felt like a cheap gimmick to get people to come watch the movie.
Oh yeah, that's not our style. We'd never do something like that.
Hi, this is Ryan George from The Thing You Just Watched. Please enjoy this slideshow from The Thing You Just Watched.